why celebrate Easter? This is the question our church family has asked over 3,000 Burnaby residents this month by placing a door hanger on their door. As I've gone around the community talking to people, I've discovered that many people in our community have very little Bible knowledge. This observation was confirmed when I read an article in last Friday's Globe and Mail newspaper. The article was about the growing biblical ignorance of our population. It is a proven fact that the Bible is foundational to understanding the history of the English language and literature. Literature professors in our universities are discovering that the vast majority of their new students have never even read a small portion of the Bible. Is this surprising? The same article went on to say that in 1960, 60% of our population attended church on a weekly basis. Today, the survey was in 2005, a survey found out that only 22% of Canadians attend church on a weekly basis. I'm sure today, because it's Easter, maybe that percentage is a little bit higher, but only 22% of Canadians attend church on a weekly basis. A newspaper in England, a country with a rich Christian heritage, did a survey and discovered that only 21% of people surveyed knew that Easter was the celebration of Christ's resurrection from the dead. This morning we will discover from the Bible what happened on the first Easter Sunday. Do you believe in Easter? If you will embrace its true historic meaning with all your heart today, your life will truly be changed. And understanding and faith in the true meaning of Easter will give you peace in this life and eternal life after that death. Let's find out this morning what happened on the first Easter Sunday. Notice in Matthew chapter 28, going back to Matthew chapter 27, you read about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And in last week's message entitled, "What is Good About Good Friday?" we spoke in depth about the suffering of Jesus Christ on an old rugged cross to pay for the sins of the world. When that day was finished, they removed Christ from the cross, and a man named Joseph of Arimathea begged for the body of Jesus. He was a disciple of the Lord, and he was given the clearance to prepare the body of Christ for burial. He prepared the body of Christ for burial and then buried Christ in his own tomb that he had purchased for himself. The Jewish leaders, they were a little bit fearful because they had heard during the teachings, during the time of Christ's ministry, that Jesus said that he was going to rise again the third day. So the Jewish leaders, they sought permission from the Roman government to put soldiers, to put guards around that tomb so that none of Jesus' disciples could come and steal the body of Jesus. So the tomb was guarded by guards. Well, 3 days passed. Now it is the morning of the day after the Sabbath, so that would be our Sunday morning. And that was the first Easter morning. What happened on that day? Well, notice in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1, the first thing you notice is the seeking disciples. Notice in verse number 1, in the end of the Sabbath, Saturday, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Sunday, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. In the other Gospels, you'll also find out that Joanna was there and Salome. They were coming to the grave to anoint the body of Jesus. These ladies loved the Lord. You know, one little detail they didn't have figured out when they embarked on this walk to the tomb was who was going to move the huge stone that was in front of the mouth of the cave or the mouth of the sepulcher. Their devotion didn't consider that little detail. So we see them walking towards the tomb. The next thing you'll notice in verse number 2, you'll notice the shaking earth. Look at verse number 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake. A great earthquake. I've only felt one earthquake. And I don't think it was a great earthquake because it took me a while to figure out what was happening. I was sitting in my townhouse on 16th Street, just over here off of Edmonds. And I was on the third floor of that townhouse. All of a sudden, things just started shaking a little bit. And I ran downstairs, and on the bottom floor, you couldn't even feel it. I don't think it was a great earthquake. But in the morning of the first Easter, there was a great earthquake. Then it says, "For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." The third thing we see is a stone-moving angel. Look at it says in verse 3, "His countenance was like lightning." That's really graphic language. His countenance was like lightning. That's a bright-looking face, I'm sure. And his raiment white as snow. The fourth thing we see that happened on Easter is we see the scared, silly guards. Look at verse number 4. "And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." When these guards woke up, what did they do? Well, if you go to verse number 11, we'll find out what these guards did. Verse number 11, it says, "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch," those are the guards, "came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all things that were done." Can you imagine the report? There was an earthquake, and then there was this angel that had the face that looked like lightning. And that's all I can remember. But when I woke up, the stone was moved away from the tomb. And here we are to tell you about it. Verse 12, "And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." You see, the fifth thing that happened on the first Easter Sunday was a sly payoff. Those Jewish leaders didn't want anybody to know the truth. So they paid the guards to contrive a story. A story that would say the disciples of the Lord stole away the body of Jesus. Well, go back with me to verse number 5. Now, I don't know if the guards are laying there passed out when verse 5 happens, or if they've already got up on their feet and took off running, or I'm not exactly sure, but verse number 5, it says, "So the women now have arrived," and it says in verse number 5, "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. So we see these surprised mourners. They arrive there. In one of the other passages of Scripture, on their way they're asking the question, how are we going to move the stone? But they get there and find out they don't have to move the stone. The angel met them and said, he is not here, for he is risen. He is risen from the dead. Can you imagine their excitement? Can you imagine their awe? Can you imagine the fear that was in them? What an amazing morning. Now, if you go with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. To build the order of events, you have to read the Gospel of Matthew's account, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, and the Gospel of John. And all of them contain different details. And you've got to put those details together to build the chronology of Easter morning, the first Easter morning. Remember in Matthew chapter 28, it spoke of Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the sepulchre. Well, and there were two other ladies. You learned that in, I believe, Luke or in Mark, Joanna and Salome. They were also there. Well, when they approached that tomb, the stone was rolled away. Well, according to John chapter 20, Mary Magdalene, as soon as she saw that stone rolled away, she took off running to find the disciples, to find Peter and John. Notice what it says here in chapter 20 in verse number 1. John chapter 20 verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. So she sees the open tomb. She runs to get Peter and John. Well, while that is happening, the other ladies, they are having this meeting with the angel. They are looking into the tomb for themselves. And they were given instructions by the angel to go tell the disciples what to do next. So those ladies, they head back to town to tell the disciples. And somewhere in between there, Mary Magdalene and Peter and John, they come back to the sepulchre. The other ladies are now gone, and now they arrive back at the tomb. Look at verse number 3. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. So Peter and John, they run to the sepulchre. John is the faster runner. He gets to the sepulchre first, and he peeks in the sepulchre, but he doesn't step in. Peter arrives after him, and he goes right into the tomb. He looks around, and then John follows him in. And then Peter and John, they leave. They go they go away. It's interesting to notice, verse 9 says, "For as yet they knew not the Scripture that He must rise again from the dead." You see, the disciples had something else on their mind. The disciples really felt that Jesus was the Messiah that would come and would rule and reign as the leader of Israel. And the death of Christ on the cross surprised them. They thought that Jesus was going to overthrow the Roman government and set up His kingdom. That's what they really were hoping for in their heart. So Jesus, on several occasions, told them, "I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again." Have you ever listened to someone and not really heard what they said? I think that's what happened to the disciples. They listened to Jesus sometimes, but they really didn't hear what He said. You know He said it because the Jews, they were aware that we better guard this tomb because He said He was going to rise again. Isn't it funny? Those closest to Him didn't notice, didn't hear that important message that He would die and that He would rise again. You know, when you read the Old Testament, there is much to be said about the coming Messiah that would rule and reign and would lead Israel. And there would be a wonderful kingdom ruled by the Messiah. You know, the Jews of Christ's day, they were quick to understand those prophecies, but they were very slow to understand the prophecies in the Old Testament that spoke about Jesus dying on the cross, dying to pay for the sins of the world. They were slow to understand those things. They wanted a warrior-like king. But Jesus came the first time as a suffering lamb. And they didn't notice it. And even His disciples didn't want to accept it. And they were dejected. Their leader and it was dead. And now His body was gone. And they didn't remember what He had said. That he would rise again from the dead. So we see this morning, on this first Easter morning, what happened? You have the seeking disciples. You have the shaking earth. You have the stone-moving angel. You have the scared silly guards. You have the sly payoff. You have the surprised mourners. And then you have the spectacular appearances of Christ. The spectacular appearances of Christ. In John chapter 20, Mary Magdalene, when Peter and John ran back to the other disciples, she stayed behind standing by the tomb. And she was the first one on the first Easter Sunday to see Jesus. Look what it says in verse number 11. John 20 and verse 11. Actually, verse 10. "Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And see a two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. She said, Gardener, where did you take him? Tell me where you've put him. I'll take care of the body. Just show me where you've laid him. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that He had spoken these things unto her. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene to comfort her and to inform her. Jesus wouldn't let her touch Him. He had to ascend to heaven. He had to ascend to heaven. But notice Matthew chapter 28. The other ladies, they were on their way back to town. And they were the second group, or they were the second people that saw Jesus Christ alive on the first Easter Sunday morning. Between His appearance with Mary and His appearance with them, He must have ascended to heaven and returned. Because notice, when these ladies meet Jesus on the road, they grab Him at the feet and they worship Him. They grab Him around the feet and worship Him. Look at verse number 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said, Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see Him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring His disciples word. And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And there shall they see me. So the spectacular appearances of Christ. He appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to the other women. That all happened that first Easter morning. But if you turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24, later in the day, in the afternoon, there were two disciples. They were not the apostles, but two of His disciples. In Acts chapter 1, the Bible says the disciples numbered 120. So of those 120, there are two of these disciples who are walking. And they are discussing the events of the last few days. Look at Luke chapter 24 and verse number 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. Now pause there for a moment. The Bible says in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16 and verse 2, it says, And after that He appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. So somehow Jesus, He came up to them to walk with them, but in another form. You say, what was His form like? I don't know. But it was another form because, look at verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. So two men are walking and now a third man joins them. That man is Jesus. It says in verse number 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? Why are they sad? They're sad because the one they loved, the one that had made such a difference in their life, had been crucified publicly and had been buried in a tomb. And they were kind of like little puppies with their tail between their legs. They didn't know what to do. Their leader was gone. The one that loved them so much was gone. And Jesus asked them, why are you sad? Verse number 18. And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? They're sure he's a stranger because what happened on that day that Jesus died, everybody knew about, everybody was talking about. Remember we learned last week that not only did Jesus, you see, a week earlier, on the day that we call Palm Sunday, Jesus rode into Jerusalem and the city gathered around and worshipped him and called him, they called him their king. But a week later, they're crucifying him. And on the afternoon of his crucifixion, there was a great earthquake. The sky became dark for 3 hours. Imagine if we looked out the window right now and it was pitch black. And for 3 hours, it was pitch black. Don't you think we'd be talking about that for a few weeks? Don't you think every reporter in the world would be in Vancouver next week talking about the darkness that covered Vancouver for 3 hours? Don't you think every reporter on the continent would be here to report about the great earthquake? I imagine they would. So they are surprised that this man doesn't know what they're talking about. Verse number 19. And he said unto them, what things? You know, sometimes God asks us questions. Not because he doesn't know the answers. He just wants to know your heart. He just wants to know your heart. He wants to know what you're thinking. Look at verse number verse number 19. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. When Jesus spoke, thousands would gather to hear him. And the deeds that he did, raising the dead to life, causing the blind to see, taking a few loaves of bread and feeding thousands, this was big news in that part of the world. And how that the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which would have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. You know, on Friday, we went on a hike. And I would say today, it's been 2 days since I went on a hike. Today's Sunday, yesterday was Saturday, it was Friday. It was 2 days since I went on a hike. That's why we know that although we celebrate the death of Christ on Friday, there's no way that he could have been crucified on Friday because you can't get 3 days since. If I went for a hike on Thursday, I could say, it's been 3 days since I went on a hike. Let's go on here. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher, that's Peter and John, and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Jesus was saying, if you knew your Bible, you would understand what was going on. His death was foretold. His resurrection was foretold. But you know what the wonderful thing about Jesus? Even though sometimes we're not that smart, he is so patient to teach us. Notice what he does here in verse number 27. And beginning at Moses, when he says, and beginning at Moses, Jesus is referring to the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So Jesus began in the Pentateuch, and then it says, and all the prophets. Well, what are some of the prophets? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Those are the major prophets. And then there's a whole list of minor prophets. So he began in the Pentateuch, and he continued throughout all the prophets. And what did Jesus do? He expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Must have been a long walk, because the Old Testament talks a lot about Jesus. But have you gone for a walk with someone and really got engaged in conversation? You were walking like this, but then when you get talking, you kind of walk like this. You walk a lot slower. Especially if you're on a date or something. You know, when those that are in love go on a walk, they don't race. They walk slow and they look at each other in the eye. It's just a slow walk. Well, this walk that Jesus is on with these disciples is a long walk. And he shares with them all the things in the scriptures that talk about him. Verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. See, Jesus never wants to impose on anybody's life. Jesus doesn't break down the door of your heart to try to come in. He wants a relationship with you. God wants a relationship with you, but only if you want it. He'll never impose. But look at verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. Verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now, whatever body Jesus has now, it's a real body. They recognized him as a man, but this body has special powers. It had power to vanish out of their sight. Look at what the men say. Verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. You know, they were going to Emmaus. It was a long walk. But this news was so great that after dinner, they headed back to town. I think that's an amazing thing. Why did they walk to Emmaus? So they could walk back at night? But that's what they did. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known to them in breaking of bread. So they come back to town. There's 11 disciples gathered. If we read the other accounts, after their arrival, one of the disciples left. The disciple Thomas, he must have stepped out, maybe to do an errand, or maybe he stepped out. And while he was away, Jesus makes his fourth appearance on that first day. Now it's evening. Now it's after supper. It's at night. And it says in verse number 36, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Okay, picture this. We're gathered around, and picture this, maybe your living room. We're gathered around talking. And all of a sudden, Jesus is standing in the midst. Wow. That's amazing. You know, usually when someone comes to your house, they come through the front door, they come through the living room door, and then they stand in the middle of the people. But the Bible says, look at what it says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto him, Peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit." If, you know, if someone just poof was standing there in the middle of the aisle, we'd all be terrified this morning, wouldn't we? We'd all be afraid. But Jesus calms them. He says, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." He said, "Come and touch me. Touch my hands, touch my feet." Verse number 40, "And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet." What mark was on his hands? Well, there was the mark where the nails went through his hands. One person said, "The only man-made thing in heaven will be the nail prints in the hands of Jesus and the nail prints in the feet of Jesus." And while they, verse 41, "And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them." There are those that claim to be Christian groups that do not believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ. They believe his spirit arose. But we see Jesus appearing to his disciples in a body of flesh and bones, and we see Jesus eating food. Eating food. Verse 43, "And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." This is a holy book. You can't understand this book unless God enlightens your mind. And then look at verse 46. "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene to comfort her and to inform her. Jesus appeared to the other women to comfort and instruct them. Jesus appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus to commune with them and to explain to them the Word of God. And then in the evening, Jesus appeared to 10 disciples to comfort them, to convince them that He was alive, that He was in fact a physical body, not some ghost. And He appeared to them to commission them. You see there in verse 47, it says, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things." That is exactly what these disciples went on to do. They went on to witness about a resurrected Savior. They began covering the world with this message that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, was buried, and rose again. When Jesus, before they knew this, before they had visually seen Jesus resurrected, they were all sad. They were all dejected. They were all depressed. But when they saw the resurrected Savior, they were up and they were going, they were telling others about what happened. Lloyd Ogilvie says the most powerful historical proof of the resurrection is the resurrected disciples. Dull, defeated people became fearless, adventuresome leaders. Cowards became courageous, and the timid became bold. It is because Jesus rose from the dead that Metro Baptist Church exists today. Because those witnesses, they told others. And those witnesses told others. And those witnesses told others. Until one day, God wanted another witness. Metro Baptist Church in Burnaby, British Columbia. It all began because of a resurrected Savior. A resurrected Savior. This morning, are you afraid to die? Do you know for sure that when you die, you will go to heaven? Jesus rose again, conquering death and giving hope to all that believe in Him. Jesus said in John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Because Jesus rose from the dead, you no longer have to fear death. Death is a fearful thing. But a Christian doesn't have to fear death. Because we serve a Savior that conquered death. And this morning, if you're worried about death, if you wonder what's next, if you're not sure what is going to happen to you after you die, Jesus Christ is the only one that can offer peace for that emptiness inside. A boy and his father were riding in their car one summer day with the windows rolled down. A bee flew in and the boy, who is very allergic to bee stings, panicked. Every time I see a bee, I panic. I remember one time I was cleaning gutters. And when I was cleaning those gutters, I came across some hornets or some wasps at the top in that gutter. Well, the guy I was working for, I don't know if he wasn't very smart or he just wanted to see my reaction, but he gave me this little bottle of, it was called Be Gone. And bees don't like Be Gone. The problem is, hornets and wasps, they could care less about Be Gone. They like it. So I climb up that ladder, and not very fast, because when I'm scared, I climb up real slow. And I put my hand over that gutter and I tilt that bottle and I start squirting that Be Gone. and they start getting mad. And they sting my hand. Well, at that point, only one part of my brain was working. The part of the brain that said, that hurts, get away from those hornets. So I just let go of the ladder. Real smart, right? Stupid. You know, I wish there was another part of the head that would have said, it hurts more to fall than be stung. But at that moment, that didn't work. But fortunately, I didn't fall like this. Ah, praise the Lord. I just kind of slid all the way down the ladder. Holding on to the rope. You should have seen the blisters on my hand after I squirted the Begone. It was bad blisters because I slid a long way down that rope. So I can understand this boy panicking in the back seat of his car. The father reached out as the bee flew around the boy and caught the bee in his hand. A few seconds later, the father released the bee, and again it started flying around the panicked boy. The father told the boy that there was no need to panic, as the father had taken the sting from the bee. And he told his son the bee could no longer hurt him. The story serves to remind us that God has taken the sting out of death for us. He has given us something to replace it. He has given us the hope of eternal life in heaven with Him. If you're here this morning and you're afraid to die, you don't know what's going to happen after you die, well, Jesus conquered death. Jesus took the sting out of death. Now, maybe you're here today and you don't care if you die or not. You know, the devil would be no... He would be so happy if you didn't care about dying. Oh, and I think there's an attitude in our society that who cares? Everybody dies, just die. But the Bible says you were created a living soul, and that soul is going to live forever in heaven or hell. And it does matter what happens to you after you die. It does matter. But you don't have to be afraid to die because Jesus conquered death. 1 Corinthians says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's a Christian's hope? It's the hope of a resurrected Savior. Why can a Christian go to a funeral and mourn because they miss the person, but rejoice? They can rejoice because they know they're going to see him again. They're going to see him again. Death doesn't have to be a discouragement. Sometimes I get mad at Brother Frank because he says, I'm feeling terrible. I'm ready to go home. I say, Brother Frank, I want to keep you around here longer so you can work and help the church. He says, I want to go home. You know, you can face death if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because He faced death, He went through death, and He came out the other side alive. Have you ever gone to any other funeral and it happened that way? No. Only Jesus rose from the dead by His own power. This morning, do you have eternal life? The Bible says in 1 John 5, it says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Let me illustrate it this way. The Bible says, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Pretend this book is eternal life. And this life, what kind of life? Eternal life, is in His Son. Why is eternal life in Jesus Christ? Because He died on a cross, was buried, and rose again. He is the authority on life after death. He's the only one that's conquered death. Eternal life is in Christ. The next verse says, so this is eternal life. This is Jesus, my hand. This life is in His Son. The Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." The question this morning is, do you have Jesus Christ? Have you received Jesus Christ as your own Savior? If you have Him, you have eternal life. He died and paid for your sins. He was buried and He rose again. And on that first Easter Sunday, He showed Himself on four different occasions, maybe five, because it also mentions that Peter saw Jesus. So five times He showed Himself on that first Easter Sunday. If you do not have peace in your heart that when you die you'll go to heaven, would you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior today? The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Bow our heads and close our eyes. This morning, we've learned about what happened on the very first Easter Sunday. My question for you this morning is, do you know for sure that if you die, that you'll go to heaven? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Savior? If you have asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, and you know for sure you're going to heaven, I'd like to rejoice with you this morning. Just slip up your hand. You know you're saved. You know you've asked Jesus in your heart. You can slip those hands down. But maybe you're here today and you don't know that for sure. Well, the Bible says that if you believe in your heart that Christ rose from the dead, thou shalt be saved.